Beautiful. Beautiful. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. And keep your finger there. Before we get there, I want to read several other scripture passages, brief ones. And to save time, I've copied them down. The first one is one that I've mentioned a couple of times in the Bible study. Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 99 years old, Yahweh appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be perfect." The second is from Psalm 18, verses 30 to 32. As for God, His way is perfect. Yahweh's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in Him. For who is God beside Yahweh? Who is a rock beside our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. And then Matthew chapter 5, verses 47 to 48. If you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Father in heaven is perfect. And now to 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made perfect in us. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for its truth. And thank you for the Holy Spirit who is here to apply your truth to each of our hearts. Let each person in the sound of my voice hear your voice and hear just exactly what it is that each of us, each one of us needs to hear tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. There was a popular song a number of years ago that said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing there's just too little of." Oh, the world knows it. The world knows it. We're surrounded today by a world of heartbroken, hurting, lovelorn people. And the Bible says that you and I have the supply. The Bible says that our love can be perfect. What are we talking about? What is love? Well, the little boy was asked to tell the difference between like and love. He said, "Oh, I can do that very easily. I like my mommy and daddy, and I love peanut butter and jelly." Well, we may not agree exactly with his priorities, but we probably agree with the idea. What is love? Another little boy said, "Love is an unconquerable feeling of all overishness." Yes, infatuation, something you can't do anything about. And then the Bible says, I have to love everybody. I don't even like everybody. How am I supposed to love everybody? And then the Bible makes it worse. I'm supposed to love everybody perfectly. Give me a break. How in the world? It must be something in the Greek or something. It doesn't really mean that. Too bad. No, it does mean that. And John Wesley, when he was asked, what language would you use for this further experience of God in a believer's life? He said, well, the best language is what the Bible uses. Perfect love. So what are we talking about here? What does the Bible have in mind? What does God have in mind that you and I can live in, that you and I can experience as a reality in our lives? Well, to answer that, we've got to ask, what is love? Well, as I said, we all know what love is. Love is a squishy feeling in the pit of your stomach. Some enchanted evening, you will... That's it. That's it. She's the one. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, that's not love. That's biology. Now, God is very nice to give us such pleasant biology as we search for a mate. But that's not love. The couple stands before us here. She's in a white dress, and he's got some incredible get-up that he wouldn't be caught dead in otherwise. And what are they saying to each other? Oh, I am yours so long as the squishy feeling doth last. Well, I've got bad news for you. Curlers and a mud pack are really hard on squishy feelings. Like a 3-day growth of beard and a shirt that stands up by itself in the closet. And one morning he wakes up and there she is. It's not a silken pillow with her silken tresses spread out on it. No, in fact, she looks pretty rumpled. She opens one bleary eye. He looks at her and he says, you know what? I don't feel the least bit squishy about you. And she says, well, what else is new, big boy? I haven't felt squishy about you for 3 weeks. Oh, man, what are we going to do? We got to split. I mean, it would be dishonest to stay together when we don't feel squishy anymore. Early in Karen's and my marriage, a wise man said to me, I think I never really loved my wife until the day that all the feelings were gone and she asked me to do something for her that I didn't want to do. And I did it. I think I began to love her that day. Yes. Yes. That's what love is in the Bible. Again, those of you who have been here for Bible study have heard this before, but repetition is the soul of education. So here it is again. What is love? Biblically speaking, it is to choose the best for another at whatever cost to yourself. Let me say it again. To love is to choose the best for another at whatever cost to yourself. That's what Jesus did. Jesus didn't feel all squishy and sentimental about us when he hung in agony on the cross. But the Bible says he loved us to the end. Yes. Yes, he chose our best. He chose intimacy with God for now and eternity. He chose that for us, even though it cost his own life. That's why John says, you want to know what love looks like? Look at the cross. Look at the cross. We know love, he says, because we've seen it in Jesus. I thought that might get an amen, but anyway. And that's what God calls us to. But the problem is, how can I do that? How can I choose the best for somebody else? Somebody who maybe is not very deserving of the best. How can I do that? Because most of us have empty love banks. There have been too much outgo and not enough income. Too many withdrawals and not enough deposits. Here I am saying, won't somebody please love me? And God expects me to love them. Oh my, how are we going to do that? Imagine that I have a glass here. It's about half full of water. And I say, okay, glass, overflow. Come on, glass, you're not trying. You can do this. I believe in you. Go ahead, overflow. Go on. Oh, man. You say, Oswald, it can't overflow. Oh, why not? Glasses don't produce water. Oh. So how are we going to get it to overflow? Let's put it under Niagara. Will it overflow now? Yeah, the problem will be to keep from blowing the bottom out of it. How can you give the best to somebody who doesn't deserve it? Especially if it costs you. Only one way. If you are under the Niagara of the love of God. If God is constantly filling your love bank, you've got love to give away. But many of us don't really believe God loves us. Because we know we're not good enough. I don't deserve the love of the eternal God. But God, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do better. We humans, we like not to take anything unless we think we've earned it. And that's the problem with so many of us Christians. We're trying desperately to earn God's love so we can have a little to give away. It's not going to happen. Well, how do I feel God's love? You've got to surrender to it. You gotta let Him love you, even though you don't deserve it. I think it was a pastor who said it first, but it's true. Did you know God has your picture on His refrigerator? God thinks you are priceless. God thinks you are special. I can imagine Him saying, oh, Gabriel, look here. That's Oswald, isn't he great? And Gabriel saying, well, if you say so. Oh, that's you are His special favorite. You say, how's that possible? I don't know, but you are. Will you let Him love you? A girl once said to me, I love you. And I thought, that's pretty cool. But I didn't feel loved because I was not willing to surrender to her love. Then one day, Karen Kennedy said, I love you. And my heart did backflips because I was willing to surrender to her love. I was willing for her to love me. I was willing to receive it. Oh, brothers and sisters, if you and I are to love this broken world, it will not happen because you grit your teeth and you clench your fists and you say, I'm going to love them if it kills me. It'll kill you. Did you ever see an apple tree produce apples? Come on, apples. Oh, man, no apples yet. Come on, apples. No. It produces it because the sap flowing through it simply automatically produces that fruit, That's what God wants to do through us for the world. But does that work? I was teaching on God's love in a church in northern Ohio. It was on a Saturday morning. There were about 25 people there. And I knew I was in trouble with one woman. You say, how did you know? What would you think? When I finished, here she came down the aisle. I thought, oh brother, I'm going to get it now. She was rather tall and thin, severe looking. She said to me, are you telling me I have to love my husband? Now, usually I think about the right answer about 30 minutes late. But I think the Holy Spirit was helping me that morning. And I looked back at her and I said, no, I'm not. But I am telling you, you may love him if you want to. Do you want to? She said, let me tell you about my husband. She told me about a man who was pretty clearly teetering on the brink of severe emotional illness. He didn't abuse her physically, but he abused her every other way. He mocked her Christian faith. He called her ugly. He called her other nasty, contemptuous things. And when she finished, she looked back at me and she said, now, are you telling me I have to love that man? And I said again, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. But I am telling you, you can love him. And it may be that you're the only person in the world who can be God's love to that man. Are you willing to be that? She said, I gotta do something. How can I do it? And I shared with you some of the things I've just shared with you. If you will give your all to God, he will give his all to you, and his love will flow through you to him. It won't be your trying. It'll be him loving that man through you. Are you willing to do that? She said, I've got to. And we prayed together, and she left. And the next day, Sunday, I left. It's one of the problems about being an itinerant evangelist. You often don't hear the rest of the story. But in this case, about 2 years later, a letter came to my desk. And when I saw the return address and saw that it was that town in northern Ohio, I thought of her. And it was her. She said, you won't remember, but you and I talked together 2 years ago about my being able in Jesus to love my husband, and I just had to write to you and tell you it's all true. In the last 2 years, I've had a love for him that I would not have believed was possible. And I just had to write to you now because 3 weeks ago, he committed suicide. And if Jesus had not done what he did in my heart, I would be a suicide today, sure that my hatefulness had driven him over the edge. But I know it's not true. Thank you. I like that story partly because it doesn't have a sentimentally happy ending. Sometimes we preachers are guilty of selling you a line of goods. Well, just do it Jesus' way and everything will be fine. Do it Jesus' way. Do it Jesus' way. Love. Choosing the best for another at whatever cost to yourself. Some of you teens are going to go into high school where there are a whole lot of people who are unlovely. Will you let Jesus love them through you? Where else are they ever going to be loved if you don't? Others of us, there are people in our families, there are people we work with, dying for love. Where will they ever receive it if not from you and me? But perfect? What do you mean? Nobody's perfect. We're all just human, and to be human is to be less than perfect. What are we talking about that? So, you don't believe God, huh? He says, our love can be perfected. Now, what's he mean? Our problem is with our understanding of the word today, which is different from how the King James translators understood it 500 years ago. We think perfect is flawless. You know, I gave my wife a perfect diamond. Not a flaw in that thing. That's what it is to be perfect. Flawless. Perfect performance. That's not what the Bible is talking about. What the Bible is talking about is bringing something to completeness. Bringing something to wholeness. Again, we talked about this a little bit in the Bible study. The Bible says, bring God a perfect lamb. Oh my goodness. It has to be the grand champion from the state fair. No. It has to be a whole lamb. Four legs, not three. Two eyes, not four. Wool, not bald. It has to be everything a lamb ought to be. So something that is perfect is something that is whole, that is complete. Now look at that. Is that a perfect circle? No. If by that you mean every arc in the circle is exactly the same as every other arc. But yes. Yes. That's a complete circle. It's a perfect circle. So God says, your love needs to be complete. What's that mean? You really pick it up there in that passage in Matthew. Jesus says, so, you love people that love you first. Here's the Living Oswalt version. Big deal. So what? The tax collectors do that. So you love people who love you back when you have express some love to them. The pagans do that. What's he saying? That's incomplete love. You love me first, and maybe I'll love you back. Incomplete love. If you respond to my expression of love, then maybe I'll love you back. Incomplete love. What's complete love? It's God's love. He loves you just the way you are. His love is self-starting. And His love is self-perpetuating. It keeps going, whether you spit in His face or not. Think about this. God loves Satan. He loved Adolf Hitler. He loved Joseph Stalin. His love is self-starting and self-perpetuating. That's what perfect love is. Can God give me, can God give you the ability to choose the best for somebody who thinks I'm dirt? Can God give me the ability to choose the best when I do something that I think is kind for somebody and they just toss it off? Yes! 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 That's what John is talking about when he talks about perfect love. Now again, I'm not talking about flawless love. I'm not talking about perfect performance. I love the story. A dad is working out in the garden on a hot spring day. He's sweating. And his little 4-year-old daughter comes over and she says, "Daddy, you're hot." He says, "Yes, honey, I am. Would you like a drink?" He says, "Well, that'd be very nice, honey." And he watches out of the corner of his eye. She goes over to the sandbox, gets a plastic cup that has been in the sandbox for several days, dumps most of the sand out, goes to the hose, which has been lying in the sun all morning, fills that plastic cup with hot water, and brings it to him and says, "Daddy, I love you." The dad says, "I drank that thing straight down, hot water, sand and all." Was her love perfect in the sense of perfect performance? No. It was quite imperfect. But was it perfect in terms of her intention to do something for her daddy? To choose what was in her mind the best for her daddy? Yes. Yes. Oh, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And our love can be perfect. It can be self-starting and self-perpetuating by the grace of God. As we live under the Niagara of His love, know that we're accepted in Him, know that He's so delighted with us. I said to that lady, "Does God like you?" She said, "Oh, no." "He loves you, though, doesn't he?" "Well, yeah, he has to." I want to say to you here, God likes you. God thinks you're great. "No, no, 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 no. When I get better, when I make something of my..." No! He likes you. And if we can live in that glorious assurance, then we've got love to give away. Whether we ever get any back from the world or not, we've got an endless supply in Him. Why aren't more of us living there? Well, the simple answer is unbelief. We don't think God can do that. Well, I'm a special case. Yeah, you preachers, maybe you could do that, but I... No, you're not. Jesus is talking to everybody when he says, "You must be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." He doesn't mean flawless. He doesn't mean transcendent. He doesn't mean all those omnis, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. No. He means your love must be whole like God's love is whole. Now, folks, can he do that? Do you believe him? Why not? Why not? That lady, she believed him. Why don't more of us live here? Because of fear. Because we're afraid that if we do something loving for somebody, we won't get it back. Why don't more of us live here? Because of pride. If I choose your best and you just throw it away, I'm going to look like a fool. I don't choose to look like a fool, thank you very much. Unbelief, fear, pride, greed. I want your love without ever having to give anything back. So what's got to happen? What's got to happen if you and I are to be the love potion for our broken, shattered, hurting world? Surrender. You've got to let Him love you. Not when you're better, but as you are. Lord Jesus, here I am. I'll let you love me the way I am. Now, He's not going to leave us the way He finds us. No. But He's going to take us the way He finds us. And as He pours His love into us, it's going to transform us. Surrender my unbelief. Lord, I don't know how you can do this. We got pretty poor material here. But you said that's what you want to do in my life, and I'll let you. Surrender our unbelief. Surrender our fear. Lord, it's okay if I don't get it back here in this world. I'm going to get it from you. Surrender my right to myself. And then act. Have you noticed how many of Jesus' miracles the person is required to act? Think about it. Here's a guy with a withered hand. And Jesus says, stretch out your hand. Jesus, his hand is withered. He can't stretch it out. Stretch out your hand. Oh my goodness. Guy's been lying on a mat for 38 years. Jesus says, get up. No, Jesus, after I know that you have healed me, after I know you've done what I ask, then I'll see if that works. No. Tell that blind guy to come here. Jesus, he can't see a thing. Tell him to come here. Yeah. And you say, okay, so what's this got to do with me? There's somebody in your life, I don't know who, but there's somebody in your life who desperately needs your love. Will you stretch out your hand? You say, I can't do this. Jesus says, stretch out your hand. Get up. Come here. And as they went, we're told of the 10 lepers, they were healed. Uh-huh. I can testify to this in my own life. It's not a big, glorious thing. But there was a man who hurt me. He had a tongue like a razor. And what he said to me was unnecessary. And I was hurt. I was eaten up by it. And I said, Jesus, I don't want to keep on with this. I don't want to feel like, please take these feelings away. He said, okay, pray that I'll bless him. Pray that you'll bless him? No! I want to pray that you'll smash him. Huh. And as I began to ask God to pour out his blessings on that man, my heart was changed. There came in me a love for that man. Not sentimental, squishy feelings, but a genuine desire that God would do good things for that man. Oh my! Oh my! You and I have the key. Will you believe God tonight to give you perfect, now that scares the socks off us, complete, whole love? Will you believe God to enable you to genuinely choose the best for somebody who deserves the worst? That's sanctification, folks. That's holiness. Perfect love. Will you let him? Will you dare him? What the world needs now is love, sweet love. That's the only thing that there's too little of. And we've got it. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your spirit. Now would you help us, Lord, as you bring to mind someone in our lives who needs your love. Would you bring us to that place of total surrender where we are willing to step out in public and say, I need God to do a work in my life so that I can be love for this person or that person or that other person. We're not asking whether they deserve it. We're not asking whether they've earned it. We're only asking, Lord, that you would fulfill your promise that you will do this in our lives. Oh God, give us perfect love. In your name we pray. Amen.